man.
World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, it's 6/24/2024, show 2180 if my math's any good. Appreciate y'all joining us this morning. Run down but energetic, powerful weekend. I want to give you a heads up. We're going to talk a little bit about what went on this weekend. I'm not going to do it to try to make you feel bad that you weren't here. Nothing like that. But it was a powerful time. Now, the whole show is not going to be about that. But some of you out there interested how it went and what went on, I'm going to let you hear from some of the people that were there. We had a wonderful, wonderful weekend and so many people to thank. I really don't even know where to begin. So if you tuned in today and you want to hear a bunch of rock 'em, sock 'em, robot kind of stuff, let's go kill 'em. I don't think it's going to be like that this morning. It's going to be a little bit of a testimony time. We're going to show you some stuff that went on. And again, I'm not trying to pull coals over your head that you didn't come. If you didn't come, you weren't able to come. That's okay. The show must go on, right? And boy, did it ever go on. We had, let me just dive in here. I made some notes. Because see, I was going to get in. I hate to get into thank yous because as soon as you get into thank yous, you forget somebody. And everybody that came, by the way, many making great sacrifices to get here. Ruby driving, I don't know, Ruby, how long you drove by yourself to get here. Rob and Lisa Pugh, from what I understand, drove down here, were sick in the hotel, and never left the hotel and drove back home. I never even saw them. And just a wonderful, wonderful time. And so when I start getting in here and giving thanks, you wouldn't have believed the food. I mean, the food. Spencer, flip a picture up there. Maybe that little video, and I'll talk over that video. I'm telling you, the Guthridges, the food. Look at that, folks. That was every meal was like that. I never thought I would go to an event and gain weight. Pies and cakes and wow. It was just unbelievable. We had probably in the neighborhood of probably 80 people came and went through over the weekend. And no, we didn't videotape it. We didn't do any of that. But So just giving you a feel for exactly what went on. I'm looking at my notes here. Bob Evans and Spencer and Dale Socia doing the music, and Dale, it was just unbelievable. Flip Benham. Man, oh man. What can you say about Flip? Wow. Tom Renz flew in from, he got home like 1 a.m, got his family up and drove 3 hours to come and spend time with us. And I mean, it was on and on. John, I mean, one of the things that was really, really good is we introduced speakers that really weren't even supposed to speak. That's Ohio Brett. That's what he looks like with his sunglasses on. Dale Socia doing praise and worship inside Sky High. It's his son, Levi, sitting every side. I'm not going to identify everybody. Pops up on the screen. That's the tent. That's a good view of what we set up in the backyard. And the Russians, Dmitry and his wife, Mark Harrington showed up from Created Equal. He came out of nowhere. And we ended up giving Glenn Newman talk to us about metals, investments, what's going on. Money's no good. There's Flip. Golly, Flip. The two presentations Flip Benham made on out of the Bible, nobody does it better than Flip. Another view of the other thing. And as I watch the pictures, I'm going to get distracted. And you're saying, I didn't turn into this show to see this stuff. Well, okay. Flip a couple more through there, Spence, if you could, for me. Some salty girls that showed up. Chad, put a hat on him. He's trying to straighten this all out. Jeff Nell with Sheila Holmes. Jeff came all the way from Fallon, Nevada. Dale doing praise and worship. Steve Dex, back of Steve Dex's head sitting there. And it's just good, man. It's just good. And right, put it on your calendar. We're going to do it again next year, June 21st, the first day of spring. Put it on your calendar next year. Hey, friends, look, listen, make it a priority. Make it a priority that John Loveland got there. I mean, we had guys speak that really they weren't expected to speak. It's the magic of it. The magic of Coach Dave Live is not Craig, not Coach Dave, Tom Dunn. No, it's those people who have plugged in and are doing stuff. John Hartzler is ice creaming, but talking about what's in the soil, what they're doing to us in the soil. It was such a broad, man, amount of information was given. Sheila Holm. I just came away just the Russians, the patient and his wife. Oh, my. Stop doing that, man, or I'll keep looking at the pictures. So I want to just, read my notes over here. I just want to kind of open it up here a little bit. Open it up and say, let people a little testify of really what it was about. What they saw, what happened to them. Some came a long, long way, man. A long way to be there. And just like to have a little bit of testimony time of what really impacted you or whatever. Some doors open. Somebody walk in. And let's just get started. I can't thank Spencer came up here. Spencer came up, gave his time. And I mean, Gary, all the pictures you're looking at, Gary took all those pictures. And I mean, on and on and on and on of people who gave and gave and gave and did and were part of it. And by the way, in my opinion, the way the body of Christ is supposed to operate, give them the sweetest thing ever born. Go back there. Go back that one. That one needs to be shown again. He said, how did I do that, Coach? I lost it. Gary's hitting on my wife. That's the sweetest little thing. Those are the two guys that made it all happen. And Kent sitting in the background. Wow. Julie, come on in real quick. Come on in, Julie. Then Ohio Bread after that.
Oh. I mean, even though he was only there in the afternoon, the seeds that were planted, I brought my husband up his first time, and he was like in awe. So,
Julie, start again. I missed the first part of what you said.
I said we were only there a half a day,
okay,
you know, on Saturday, but it was really good. I mean, just to get to see people's faces to their voices and vice versa, you know, it just really... Yep. A God thing. So thank you, Coach, and you know, Michelle for putting that on.
Yep, folks. Gotcha. Thank you for coming. Folks, look, we ain't alone, baby. You are not alone. No matter what the world wants to tell you, there are far more of us than there are of them. They're far. We got to get organized, paddle, push in the same direction. Information overload we're all getting and don't really know what to do with it. And we got that guy. Let me tell you something. Go back there. That's Tom Renz, and I want you to hear this story. He's a pretty famous guy right now, Tom Renz. And I'm sure he's got a big target on his back from the enemies of Christ. And Tom shared with us, he don't have any money. He doesn't have any money. He's fighting these battles and these wars, and you know, it takes a lot of money to do legal work, right? And got this fee for this thing and this fee for... He wasn't griping and moaning and complaining. It wasn't just the reality of it. Sometimes I don't know how my bill get paid and this is going to get paid and really what's going on and the information he has. And man, if he can get it before a court of law and yada, 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 and the fight that he's having to try to get the information out. And friends, it's grassroots, folks. It's grassroots, folks. And one of the things that, you know, of course, we gave him an honorarium to come, but it ain't going to make him rich. He brought his wife and his two kids with him, his wife getting victory over cancer. And, just unbelievable, the battles and the wars that he's fighting. And to think that he would, you know, give that time to come down there and spend it with us. And he texted me last night out when he got back home, said, man, thanks for letting me be a part of it. And he's going to go again. And he said, the information that he has, if he can get the information to those who matter, folks, you don't have any idea the information this guy has on how many people have been murdered by the vaccine. He has the goods and the proof. He has it, but he can't. Who can he get it in front of to do something about? Ohio, Brett, come on in. Hang on, that. Let me hang on, Brett. Hang on, because I want to say this. Because one of the things I thought was really one of the highlights of the night is after Tom had spoken to us, he didn't ask for money, wasn't what it was, and I told a story that I learned about, I don't know, 20 years ago when I first got going to ministry trying to earn a living. Hate to use that in ministry. It's because it's, you know, you got to be careful what you say. You make people mad and they won't give you $20 anymore. And I talked about the story that I had of a pastor that talked about the $100 handshake. And those of you in ministry, maybe you don't know what those are, but the $100 handshake is some guy that just comes up to you and says, hey, I appreciate what you do, and shakes your hand and walks away with a $100 bill in your hand. Sometimes you don't even know who that guy is. And I've lived like that a lot. Some of that happened for me this weekend, and we appreciate it. But I'll never forget the pastor said, the problem is we have people who are looking to receive $100 handshakes and not very many people looking to give $100 handshakes. I thought, man, oh, man, oh, man, there it is, isn't it? So after Tom Renz got through speaking, I told that story I just told you guys right there. I said, listen, here's an opportunity for you to give a $100 handshake. So now it doesn't have to be 100. It could be 10, it could be 5, it could be whatever level you are, whatever you are. But we're going to form a line. You're going to come by here and you're going to give a handshake with Tom Renz. And I see, folks, you take ownership in it. You take ownership in it. You have an ownership. You're a partner in this. You're a partner in what Tom is doing. As opposed to sending it off to the Family Research Council. Yeah, you're a partner to it. Sure you are. You're keeping it afloat, giving it to the Republican Party. Yeah, but I'm telling you, man, to shake Tom Renz's hand and have a $20 bill in your hand and hand it to him, that was a powerful moment. And so as they say, I'm just full of it this morning. Glenn, come on in. No, Ohio Brett, I'm sorry. Ohio Brett, come on in.
Well, thanks again, Coach, and Michelle. It was amazing. And there's only one head coach. But one of the coolest things about the huddle is it is the Rose Bowl. It is the biggest game of the year. So we do all these other huddles throughout the year, but you're only 1 year away from next year. So make plans now. Because one of the coolest things was just be encouraged by the other players, listening to their story. That will sustain us through the whole year. Man. Everybody's doing something in this huddle. Oh, everybody. I am personally encouraged by all of you. Coach Norm looks so good, losing 100 pounds. And one of the cool things, two other things, we, the players that were there, were talking about all the other players that weren't there. I heard conversations all over. That's it was right. So cool. And the third thing, we all were talking about Scripture. This Amen. Team is based on the foundation of Bible Scripture.
Amen.
Thanks,
Amen. And one of the things that really developed out of it, Brett, that was really, really good is the opportunity for, you know, John Hartzler to have half hour to stand in people and tell us what's going into the GMO foods, what they're putting. John is Hartzler's dairy. It's his business, milk, corn to feed the cows. It's his business. And he said, we're sick because of what they're putting into the food. And so how he's trying to grow non-GMO foods, and we got to go to all that and look around. Why is everybody fat? It's because all the stuff they're putting in, and wake up, they're killing. And it was only 20 minutes. Man, it was so impactful. And oh, man. And Craig Mickle, God, that guy just gives and gives and gives. Saving God's children, fighting to do everything can to wait. Everybody plugging in, doing what they do. Whatever your gift is, get involved, man. Get involved. Gary running things behind. There's Craig Mickle. Man, just you know, Craig wants to talk every 5 minutes because he's got something else he wants to say. Something else he wants to say. You got to do this. You got to do this. And Jeff Nell comes all the way from Fallon, all the way from Nevada, flies in, spends the weekend. He doesn't ask any special favors, but the idea to be able to rub elbows with others who are in the battle, baby, in the battle is great encouragement. Glenn, come on in. Glenn made a great presentation on trying to get in here. Glenn made a great presentation on the economy, on inflation, on the fake money and fake investments and all. It was really, really good.
Yeah, I agree with Brett. It was just so encouraging to hear just different people speak and the truth that came out. But what really impressed me was the transparency in Tom Renz. Oh. That man is a fighter, and you could see that. The amazing thing is that he's betting everything on the truth. He put his house up. He told us he put his house up to finance his operations. I mean, that's talk about commitment. How many people would do that? You know, I heard him say something. You know, sometimes he has trouble sleeping. And no, he's on the road. He gets up in the middle of the night and he walks around. And he talks to the homeless on the street.
Yep.
He has conversations with the homeless. That was just so inspiring to hear what he had to say.
Amen.
And then a lot of people were. I'm just not, you know, just not him, but it was just amazing.
And Brett, you know, Glenn, you did a great presentation, and I think about how many, I don't want to say lonely, not lonely warriors, but lone warriors there are. Sheila Holm driving all across America by herself, bringing the truth. She drove all the way here, then she got in her car and she drove all the way somewhere else, and she's going to drive somewhere all in Ohio. Brett gone from. At wherever people going and doing, and I mean, folks, it humbles me because we all could be doing so much more. And one of the things that was so made me feel so good is some of these guys for the first time got the chance to stand in front of people for 20 minutes and explain what it is they do to encourage you that you can do it too. Come here.
Mary Beth Helen
came all the way from. Upper Peninsula. Come here, Michelle. Come here. All the way. Yeah, come on. I want them to see you. Up. She came from all the way from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan by herself. There's Michelle with her. Can't see her very well because it's green screen. They can't even see you. See
that's okay.
Wait a minute. He's going to fix it. There she
Hi,
is.
Hey, good morning.
You can't see your face. Get down here.
No, can't see your face. I can see your shirt. No more dead babies. Oh.
Hey, there ain't nothing like this in here, man. There ain't nothing like this.
Make some breakfast.
No, I know what you mean.
By the way, some of you didn't hang around. We did a tour last night of the mounds. We went to the Serpent Mound. We went to the Circle Mound. I showed them all the mounds around here, the Nephilim mounds. What? Just a crazy time. I love this little thing here. All right. She wanted to make sure everybody got mentioned and nobody got to. Artie Gongas. Artie drove all the way from New Hampshire by himself. I mean, geez. Dave and Sherry coming. Stop it. Dave and Sherry coming from all the way from Michigan. People not wanting anything other than just to be part. Oh, yeah. Neil and Mary. Neil with his half new knee. I call it half new because he gets around on all the way from Wisconsin. It's crazy. Look, I'm not trying to make you feel bad that you didn't come. Put the date on your calendar. And don't miss it next year. It will be an encouragement to you beyond what you can believe. And the food, we charged $75 for meals. That was the most unbelievable food. The Guttridges prepared all of it. They cooked it. They, oh my goodness, my goodness. So the meals alone were worth it. Betty, come on in. What? Linda, see how it happens. Linda Tibbs. Thank you, Linda Tibbs. So if you're sitting out there saying, well, why won't he mention me? It just because there's 1,000 of you. There's 1,000 of you. Betty, come on in.
Yep. Good morning. I just want to thank you for having me. I just really, really enjoyed it. Philippians 2:5 says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Yeah. I tell you what, it's there. I love the fellowship with my brothers and sisters who are like-minded. Yep. I love meeting new folks. And hearing their testimonies and being able to pray over them. And I had my friend Beverlyn from Georgia who really enjoyed it. So I'm sure she'll may come next year again. Mm-hmm. And hearing the speakers, they're just amazing how they inspire me with their wisdom and knowledge. I've learned so much through this, you know, through you and everybody that's with it. I can't even thank you enough. I'm definitely spirit filled. It seems like my spirit soars when I'm around these warriors.
So, amen. Encourage. So, that's right.
Yeah.
Iron sharpens iron, right? It's an iron.
Shoot, it took me only 5 minutes to get home last night instead of an hour and a half. And I'm sore. But anyway, surround yourself with a bunch of like-minded people and you'll soak up their habits like a starved sponge.
Amen. Amen. And friends, yesterday, oh my goodness. Real quickly, Dale, I'll bring you right in. I love Dale Socia. I'll bring you right in. Hang on, Dale. Flip Benham made a presentation. He did Sunday service yesterday, and Dale's music was great. It was amazing. Dale's such an anointed guy, man. And Flip really went a direction, turning the hearts of the fathers to the children. He said, the problem in America is dads, D-A-D, dad. He said, you can point your finger at anything else. The problem is D-A-D, D-A-D, dad, dad. And if we don't get dad back involved in the family, in the community, if dad doesn't quit watching the football games and the basketball games and on the computer and on the phone, if we don't get dad back involved in the family, it says in Malachi, if we can go there, the last, is that where it is, Malachi? I think it is.
Malachi chapter 4, Coach. Right at the end.
Malachi 10, 4. Chapter 4. We're having math problems here. There we go. Malachi chapter 4.
Behold, right to the end.
Say it, Dale.
Go to the end.
Go to the very end.
Last verse of the Old Testament.
Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament, and God will not speak again for 400 years. 400 years. The last thing he says in the Old Testament. And he says, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children. And the heart of the children to their fathers. Lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. He goes away for 400 years. When he comes back in Matthew, you'll find it again that he sent, was Matthew, maybe it's Luke, that Jesus, the Messiah, has come to do what? Turn the heart of the fathers back to the children. And the heart of the children back to the fathers. And Flip said, our only answer is D-A-D. Christ, of course, Christ. But D-A-D. Dad. Dad. Head of the household. Dad. It's God's pattern. Man over the family. Man over the family. Wife over the home. Dad, dad. And it was really powerful, man. It was really powerful. Dale, come on in, Dale.
So, wow. You know, I want to, Coach, you already know how I feel about you. You know how I feel about the people. But to give you a sounding board, what sitting with Flip while he was listening to, and you're talking, listen, this is coming from Flip. And he didn't come up and say, Flip was sitting there and one speaker would go and then another. He goes, this coach, you know me, this is Flip. That was really good. And he'd look at me and go, that was really good. This is Flip talking, right? Flip has heard it all. He has seen them all. And to have that kind of a word come from Flip, he was listening to people who got it. And the tying of the scripture from person to person was absolutely incredible. And the Lord topped my cherry last night, like I told you. We had no expectations of staying that morning because we were trying to surprise our children who did not know that we were bringing them to Canada, to Niagara Falls. and because we stayed, they gave our room away because we were late. And when my wife explained why we were late, they upgraded us three times. Coach, you see that picture that I sent you? That was overlooking the Canadian side of the falls. We were right. I mean, that was God. When we do God's business, God takes care of our business.
Amen. Dale,
I'm going to try to send this
Amen.
That you sent me. to, yeah, let's do that. Dale, folks, Dale's anointed music was just unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. We appreciate you, Dale, and your family. And
this is out the window, Coach. You can see the mist from it.
I don't know if I'm trying to figure out how to send a dispenser right now, because it's anyway. So they cancel their hotel room and they get there, and the Lord gives them a ringside seat over the top of the falls. How's that? How do I get that thing to him, Spencer? Oh, well, people say, I don't care. I'll keep looking for it. Rita, come on in, Rita. Are you there? Got to unmute yourself, Rita. Oh, is that Mary Beth? Come on in, Mary Beth. Then it says Rita. It says Rita up there. Come on, Mary Beth.
Sorry, this is my sister's iPad, and I'm okay, trying to figure it out. Hey, when Jeff gave that testimony, Jeff Klein, about, I forgot the other guy's name that was sick. That was phenomenal. Yep. And then I'm getting severe mental block. The guy that's facing prison, the pastor, what's his name?
Pastor Dunphy.
Dunphy, right.
Yep.
But you said 75 for the food, and I thought it was 59. Am I wrong on that?
It was 59. You're right. 59 bucks for all
okay,
that.
Okay, and somebody was saved yesterday, too, and that was fantastic. So,
yeah,
we had an awesome time.
That's right.
Really awesome time. Thank you.
Look, folks, I think of salvations are important. I'm not making light of salvations. But we got to stop getting people saved and then dragging them up on the beach and let them rot, right? So we're a ministry. We're about salvation, but we're a ministry that puts people into the game. We put people in the game. We teach them how to play the game. We put a call upon their unction and their anointing. We plug them into the game. And in my opinion, that's where the church is missing it. They're not doing it. We don't move beyond salvation. They come and they hear the Sunday service. And yeah, they go around, shake everybody's hand. Yeah, but they don't do anything. If you're out there and you're a pastor, what's the last thing you called your church to do? What did you call them to do? No, you don't call them to tithe, or we don't call them to pray. Or what did you call them to actively do? And to say, listen, when you come back to church next Sunday, we're going to have every one of us give a report on what you did this week to advance the kingdom. Now, if you did that, here's what happened. The churches would empty. Because people just want to come and I call it spiritual welfare. They just want to come and live off the actions of somebody else. They just want the blowback from somebody else's hard work. We just all want the blowback from Craig Mickle. He's fighting for all those babies. And we want, well, we'll buy a keychain and we'll be part of it by buying a keychain. We just want the crumbs. We want to get involved. Churches don't plug people in to do things. I'll say, yes, we do, Coach. We feed the homeless every Saturday afternoon. Well, God bless you. God bless. Is that all? People only need to eat? That's all they need to do? All the stuff that's going on around us, the world blowing up around us, Jesus told us, go into all the world. Teach them to observe all I've commanded you. Are we doing that? Are they doing that out of your church? Is your pastor ever calling you out of your church, out into the streets, ever, to do something manly? No.
Boom.
That's what I love about Flip. That's what I love about Dale. They go and do it, man. They go and do it. See, listen, don't talk to me about what you do. Go do it. Go do it. And the reason people don't go do it, because there ain't anybody telling them to. And that's what makes my heart pound to see all those people that were there. They're doers. And if they're not doing, they want to do. They want to know how to do it. Wake up, pastor. Show them how to do it. Get off of the, we call it a chalk talk in the locker room before the game or during practice when you take them into the locker room or the boardroom, whatever, and you draw up plays and you explain to them how to block and how to tackle and who to block and who to tackle on this play, how you run this play. You draw it on the chalkboard. Church is a freaking chalkboard. So it is. Come in and they draw plays up on the table, but they never take you out and show you how to do them. Never show you how to run plays. Never shown out, huh? And I was thinking about Bob Evans this morning as I got up, and I was busy yesterday running around doing all kinds of stuff. And about, I don't know, it was late, like 6:30 yesterday, I go up there. Bob Evans is still working up there, cleaning things up. What? Exercising his gift. He probably could have had more fun just kind of sitting around doing, talking, doing whatever. No, no, he just kept right on going. Unnoticed. Hey, Bob, the Lord noticed, brother. Oh, the Lord noticed it. He sure did. And so my frustration is, and I got kind of the theme of this church is, good Lord, let's run a play. And I was encouraged because there's so many guys that aren't running plays. So Dale Socha has his hotel canceled, and they upgraded him three times. And this is looking out his hotel window at the Niagara Falls. Is that unbelievable? Dale, you and your family are such, man, you're just such a blessing. Just are. And Dale Socha shows that you can be both. Prophetic. And mercy. He does both. His church does both. They do the feeding. They do that. They have a Dale. So I'm not glorifying Dale. They have a day down there where they give out free gas, fuel to strangers. Drive into the church and they give them $10, $20 gas. They give out, but they also go fight for unborn children. They do both. Why can't we do that, church? Because there are some guys sitting in the church who want to fight. They're tired of voting Republican, letting the Republicans, they're tired of it. They said, that ain't working. I want to do something. And instead, many pastors are afraid to do something because they'll lose some of their team. Well, pastor, I want to tell you something. A lot of your team are leeches. They're leeches. They want all the glory and all the mercy, and they don't have to invest anything in except maybe a tithe every couple of weeks. They'll throw a little bit of money in there and soothe their conscience that they went to church and they did great things, and they are right down the road trafficking children, and the church doesn't care. Okay, I'll shut up. Glenn, come on in.
Yeah, you know, I love Dale Socha. Dale, he has such a heart for God and for people that when you hear him speak, it becomes emotional. Mm-hmm. You can see the emotion in him. He just loves people.
Hey, Glenn, the Bible says he who is forgiven much loves much.
Amen. Amen.
Huh? You know what? Dale Socha knows what a wretch he is. Do you guys know what a wretch you are? Were, as Flip said, still could be, still am. What a wretch you are. When you realize that you have been given a suspended sentence or somebody paid your fine. Wow.
He just has a heart for people and a heart for God.
Amen. 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 Jeff Klein, come on in, Jeff. Hey, hang on. Before you get in there, I want you to get up that, I want you to get that video of Ricky Miller ready. If you could, go ahead, Jeff.
Coach, here's what I got from the weekend. You know, you get beat down sometimes. You get feeling like, geez, how can I keep going? And I'll be honest with you, the last 6 months or so has been kind of that way. Just like, where's everybody at? So to get back there with three amazing pastors, Pastor Dale, Pastor Flip, and Pastor Bill, it just reminded me of back in the days, 15, 20 years ago. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Hearing each one of them, Dale singing and his heart, and Pastor Flip with just the wisdom he has, and Pastor Bill with the boldness to stand. You know, and it was an honor for me and Ricky to sit there. I told Mary Jane last night, I was on Pastor Bill's right, Ricky was on his left.
Mm.
Got to sit there and listen to Flip, listen to Pastor Dale. You know, it's just encouraged me, and it charged me back up, fired me up. It's like there's three pastors that are ready to lead somebody to the Lord, pray with somebody, or stand against the enemy. Everything all wrapped up in one. Last night I thought about this. Pastor Flip Benham, I'm going to start calling, he's going to be nicknamed the Granddad. Granddad Flip. He's
like, yep. Amen. And you know what, Jeff, you know what's really bad? The American church has put him out to pasture. They don't want anything to do. They don't want anything. No, they don't. He said, Coach, when you called me and asked me if I had room on my schedule, he said, I about choked. So there ain't nothing on my schedule. Nobody wants to hear from me. And he was the godfather, man. He was the godfather of all this stuff, trying for 20, 30 years to warn us what was coming. So I want to show you. Go ahead, Roger, come on in. And then I'm going to show you this. Go ahead, Roger. Roger did the best fireworks again Friday night. Appreciate it. Go, Roger.
I missed you guys yesterday. It's car trouble. But when I, Pastor Phil, when I asked him, Flip, I said, well, are you getting into churches? He said, no, I just still go out to the abortion. I was in shock. I said, well, you're not like out and talking to some different. He said, no, I was in shock that it's like he had been turned out to pasture.
That's right.
You know,
and his voice is so needed now, Roger. It's needed now. And
vibrant and healthy and verbose and. But and all nobody, I couldn't believe that he had no engagements to speak at any churches. I just could not believe it.
Yeah. Amen. 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 He said, he texted me this morning. I'm not going to say too much about this. He spoke again yesterday. I told you he spoke at our church service, which it rained and we had to move inside Sky, the building. It's really good. We were packed in there. It's hot. He spoke on dads. And he texted me this morning. See if I can. I'm not, you know, this is a private text, but I know Flip wouldn't care if I shared it with you. And here's what he said, because he talked about Donald Trump. He said, talking about fathers, he said, let me find it. I was so blessed to be with all of you. I want you to know that what draws people's heart to Donald Trump is that he's acting like a father. I stopped and thought about that. Are you kidding me? Yeah. Yeah. He ain't doing everything really by the book, maybe, but boy, he is swatting the kids around and he's disciplining people and he's calling it like it is. And that's the way that a father would operate. And sometimes in this culture, in this society that we're in, we don't like that kind of fathering. We don't like that. That's straight. We want the soft tongued devil, and he is the old school dad, right? I said, man, I never looked at it. And Flip said, I'm all in for Donald Trump because God is using that father figure to America, and we don't even recognize what's going on. But, man, oh, man.
Coach, that elephant story was great, too.
The elephant story. The elephant. He did, real quickly, let me share this with you. This is from Flip as well. That over in Africa, wherever it was, they went in and they killed they were killing the elephants for their tusks and all that stuff. And they were killing off all the bulls, all the big daddies. And what happened is the elephants that remained were destructive. They were going around, they were tearing things down or ripping things out and just going crazy. And the government said, what the heck are we going to do? So they went out and they flew in some old bull elephants with all long tusks, the masculine bulls. And they flew them in, and in a matter of months, all of that stuff stopped because the bull elephant got his kids in line. And that's what we need in America, that daddy, that bold, do it, shut up and do it. We need that again. And it's left the church. It's really pretty profound. So I want to show you something about this. Let me tell you two more stories. Kent Guthrie's the guy who cooked all the food. I didn't know this. Gary, I don't know if you can find, you can't find his picture problem. He was in a hospital with COVID for 20, I think he said 21 days at the beginning of COVID, 21 days. And they weren't treating him. They weren't feeding him. They weren't giving him any medicine. They weren't doing anything. And the doctors had reached the point where they were going to do, we know what they're going to do, right? Put him on the ventilator, let him die. He's worth a lot of money dead. And his hero wife snuck him in ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. She snuck it in. There he is. She snuck it into the hospital. And while the hospital wasn't doing anything for him other than waiting for him to die so they could collect their $60,000 or whatever it is on another COVID death, she snuck in ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. And 3 days later, Kent was back up on his feet. Don't tell him that horse paste doesn't work. And so I was reminded go ahead, Gary. Go ahead. I know that's a germane. Right, Gary, do you hear me? Gary Pierce, go ahead.
Kent, that was a great story about Kent, and for sure, I mean, with what's going on medically. But I wanted to say that I think there's a freedom being at Sky High. Over the weekend, we were outside. We were at the top of the hill. We were getting blessed by a terrific breeze. It was at the atmosphere. There was a coach, you being blessed to be able to purchase Sky High and provide that venue to this group, and just the freedom of being outside all the time. Except for the service, but it was just emblematic of what you can experience being outside the four-wall traditional church. Thank you. Yeah.
The church service was powerful. It was not religious. It was just awesome. It's just great. Thanks, Jeff. So I want to tell this story here real quick because Ricky Miller. Our buddy Ricky Miller. This popped up. I got home last night, and this popped up in my inbox. This was Ricky Miller. This was June 22nd, 2021. A live video that I did of Ricky Miller, who, by the way, showed up this weekend. And Ricky Miller is alive today because of his friend, Jeff Klein. Jeff Klein, who when they took Ricky Miller and put him in one hospital and tried to kill him, Jeff got him transported to another hospital down in Columbus where they tried to kill him. And Jeff went down there and stood at the door and blocked the door from the remdesivir and the ventilator and all that stuff that they were going to do that would have killed Ricky Miller. And Ricky Miller is there at Sky High this weekend, and this thing popped up into my feed yesterday. I just want to, it's 3 minutes and 37 seconds. Get that. Can you put that picture? Can you find Ricky Miller again, Spencer? I don't know if you could. You maybe don't even know who Ricky is. Don't worry. Go ahead and play this. Okay, hang on here. We're live. We're live here on Facebook.
Oh, dear gosh.
Listen, I'm sitting here in Mount Vernon, Ohio, with my wife, Michelle. And some of you, I just feel like I ought to make this video because some of you who maybe watch our show or whatever are aware of the miracle of Ricky Miller even being alive. And we're up here visiting Ricky for the first time. I don't know how, when, last time I saw him was when we were in D.C., January 6th, right?
Yep.
But Ricky spent, folks, listen, Ricky Miller, he got whether it was ever COVID or whatever, he got really, really sick. He got so sick, they transported him to Riverside Hospital and told his wife and Jeff Klein, those who were fighting there and praying with Ricky, that he was literally hours from death. He had zero. Can you guys do that? Can you do a zero? He had 0% chance of living. Zero. Like none? Like dead man sitting, what laying, whatever? Oops. Hang on there, Mike. Hang on, everybody. Dead man walking. There he is. Huh?
Howdy, folks.
Huh? Look at, folks, you believe that? Now, Ricky spent at least seven weeks in the hospital. Hey, the doctors told him, he told his wife, 0%
chance. The boy will be dead by morning, right? You ain't dead, are you, Ricky? And tell him what you did today. Still in a nursing home.
I'm far from it.
What'd you do today, Ricky?
I'm still proving people wrong and proving to people that God will work miracles if you simply believe He can.
Okay, it's hard to hear. Yeah, so you get it. You get it, right? But I want you to be aware of this too. Jeff Klein, tell everybody what my wife did every day for Ricky Miller.
I picked Vicky up every morning.
If Jeff would pick up Ricky's wife, Vicky, every morning.
For a couple of weeks, 2-3 weeks, I can't remember the time, but every time we'd get ready, she used to make call. But every time I'd pull into Vicky's driveway, now we hadn't seen Vicky much before this.
Here's Ricky.
Yeah, he's doing good now. So I would pull in the driveway, toot the horn, Vicky come out that garage, and she'd hold her Bible up. As soon as she'd come out the garage door, hold her Bible up and just smile and jump in that car, and I had on speed dial. As soon as she'd put her butt in the seat and shut the door, I'm like, Michelle, pray for us for the drive over to Columbus, our drive.
Dial my wife, Michelle, and get my wife, Michelle, on the phone.
Oh, yeah. Me and Vicky would sit there and bow our heads. And Michelle would just start railing. She was wound up as we were, you know what I mean? And that excited Vicky and encouraged her every morning, knowing Michelle was going to be on my phone in my car.
Memorizing Psalm 91.
Oh, yeah.
Warfare Psalm.
I recorded that yesterday of Michelle doing that. Reciting that, and I sent it to Vicky. I said, Vicky, here's a memory. It's like, so I sent it to her. It was good. But they did have Ricky on that ventilator when we got there.
Yeah.
13 days they crammed that thing down his throat.
No medicine. Hey, friends, are you looking at me, folks? Bible says that Jesus would be a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Ricky Miller is alive today because Jeff Klein was a friend who stuck closer than a brother. Huh? Faithful to the end. Gone every day. Not letting his brother die.
Hey, Coach. Yeah. And that's why I mentioned that yesterday when I spoke. First thing I wanted to mention was Pastor Flip and Pastor Bill. There's been my two true leaders encouraging me. And how would we have handled that situation if we wouldn't have spent all that time with Pastor Bill and Pastor Flip for years?
Right. Understanding warfare, man, right?
Yep.
Yep. Amen. Understanding warfare. Hey, folks, again, I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad. I bet you didn't get to go or what. Daggone, don't punch your husband because you wanted to go and he didn't want to. Don't do that. That's not what this is about. But the Bible says to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, even more as we see that day approaching. Now, Spencer. Spencer, look up Webster and assemble. Assemble. Let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together to collect a number of individuals or particulars in one place or one body to call to gather together to convene to congregate. That's not what I'm looking for. Assembly. Now, because look, when I've used this before. You guys remember when Christmas morning, and you had your young kids, you got them some toy, and it was in a box, and you open the box up, and there's a note that's at the top. It says, some assembly required. Anybody remember that? Some assembly required, those words from hell. Oh, no, what? And then the instructions were written in Chinese. You with me? Huh? Nightmare of Christmas morning, some assembly required. What does it mean to assemble? That means here all the parts are in the box, but you got to put them together. You can't just put all the parts in the box, which is what church is doing. We're putting all the parts in the box, but ain't nobody putting it together. Nobody connecting the body, giving it arms and legs and a mouth and toes and a thumb and bowels. Nobody's doing that. It's all in the box. Everything's in the box. And the sign says some assembly required. There ain't nobody assembling. And the Bible says that we need to assemble ourselves together even more as we see that day approaching. And it means more than just gathering together. It means plugging you in to the body and your role in this body. Huh? Nobody likes it. Pastor Bill's wife, Connie, Friday night had an appendicitis attack. Saturday morning, she had to have her appendix removed. Now, why did God give us an appendix when it's meaningless? The appendix is meaningless, right? No purpose for it. Well, I don't know. But he assembled it. God put it there. So what about you? Are you assembled in the body? Are you just in the box? Or do you have an actual role that you play? Are you a thumb? Are you an elbow? Are you a forehead? Are you a nose? What role are you playing in the church? And if I were to line 1,000 of you up and ask you this, there wouldn't be 10 of you that could tell me your role in your local church. Somebody give me a thumbs up and said, amen, coach, amen, coach. They get us all in the box. They put headphones on of us, and they play music, and we raise our hands, and then we leave the box for the rest of the week and then come back. But we are never assembled. We never come together. We never do. Never come
together. Amen, coach.
Amen. I know I'm right. Gary, then Martin. Go, Gary. Your hand's up, Gary. I don't know if you meant to come in or not. Go ahead, Martin. I know your hand's up.
Hey, thanks, coach. I just wanted to give you a heads up and an update of what happened yesterday at the Lights, Camera, Pride event that happened in Springfield, Ohio. A bunch of us, Jerubbaal, showed up, coach, and the police approached us, told us to stay away. I asked the police, is there someone in there monitoring the event of what's going on with those children? He said no. And prior to this event, everybody at Coach Dave Live, we alerted both the Attorney General, Dave Yost, about what was about to happen, the Springfield Police Chief, Elliot, about what was about to happen on Sunday, and the Clark County Sheriff. They were all served proper notice. We also contacted the organizer / performers themselves prior to yesterday, and the Christians were the ones that were told to stay away. So just wanted to give you a heads up on what's going on in Ohio. We alerted all these law enforcement agencies of exactly what Ohio Revised Code statutes were about to be violated, and it was all disregarded, coach.
They didn't care.
That's all I got, sir.
So here's what we would do, and this is what Tom Renz would tell us to do. We ought to get video of it, and we ought to file charges. We ought to file charges against our prosecutor if he didn't do his job. That's the kind of
stuff
we have to do. That they're not going to do it. We are the salt of the earth, not them.
We're learning as we're going, coach. And next time, the Busman Report will have a camera in such an event. We're going to make that happen, coach. Thank you, sir.
See, hey, folks, that's what the church ought to be doing. If I was pastoring, I would have said, anybody in the congregation have any video from that debauchery yesterday? Anybody have any video of that public stuff? I'd like it, please, because I'm going to go to our police chief. How many pastors do you think in Springfield even mentioned it? Dale.
Well, coach, this, you know, as many of times as the gatherings and the things and the testimonies that happen at all of these, whether it's the gathering or whether it's the, you know, going and doing the Georgia Guidestones and things, it's that scripture that was quoted a couple times yesterday, and I'd shared it too, and it was at Psalms 133. Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. That word unity is like-mindedness.
Yes,
it
sir.
Is like the precious ointment upon the head that runs down the beard and even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments, and that the dew of Hermon and the dew that descends upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life evermore.
He commanded it, Dale. He commanded the blessing. He didn't say it might show up, maybe, if I'm not busy.
Always comes. It always comes.
When brothers dwell together in unity. Not uniformity. Unity. All focused on the same thing. You won't believe this, but the whole weekend, I didn't ask anybody what denomination they were. It never came up. Why? Because denominations divides. We're unified. We're focused. We're all pushing the same direction. And I continue to say it, we're winning. We're winning. Everywhere we look, we're winning. Look, I appreciate Chad drove all the way in here and all the chat. If I start running down the list of thank yous to people, I would leave people out. I'd leave people out. We expose people. John Loveland got the chance to talk about dissociative identity disorder, and what they're doing to our kids, fracturing who they are, how that's going on. Many people, they've never heard of it. John Loveland talked about the food, what they're putting in the food. We're poisoning the food. We got to get control of our food, got to get it back. Craig Mickle, they're saving God's children. And Tom Dunn talking about, oh my, on and on and on, of all these wonderful things that people are doing. It was an unbelievable encouragement to my heart. Now, look, I'm going to tell you something. I wasn't going to say it, but I'm going to. How much? I got 4 minutes. Can I coach you a minute? Is it okay if I coach you for a minute? Okay. Here's the truth. A lot of you were looking for an excuse not to come. I'm going to say it again. Some of my friends in here were looking for an excuse not to come. It wasn't a priority. Why wasn't it a priority? I don't know. So this has gone on. That's gone on. I don't know. But it wasn't a priority to be there. And I know this. If I said to everybody who comes gets $150, how many people would have been there? Everybody who comes, I'm going to give you $150. They'd have been lined up and down that hill. So the reality of it is, some of you all just partway in. And we're not going to win this battle partway in. Now, I'm not poking in the face those who have legitimate reasons for not being able to be there. I get it. Trust me, I get it. But you ought to go right now, and you ought to write in your calendar book, June 21st, 2025, this is where I'm going to be. And then when people try to get you to go to graduations and marriages and all that, then you just got to say, hey, I'm sorry. I'm booked that weekend. I'm already booked. Make it a priority. Say, well, coach, I can't afford it. Well, start right now. Start right now and put away $5 a week. Put it in a jar, $5 a week. Can anybody do math? 5 times 52, 260. So a year from now, you'll have $260 to put forward towards that trip that you couldn't afford to do. Are you with me? Folks, it's got to matter to us. And the encouragement of my heart, how good and pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. God commands the blessing. A lot of you missed a blessing. You missed that encouragement. And I always say, when the devil is pounding on you, boys and girls, when things are rough and you're beat down and you don't know if you can go another day, always do this. Run towards the light, not away from it. Run towards the light. So if you were struggling and got a lot of things going on in your life, dude, you didn't run to the light. You ran away from it. And if you come and you get strengthened and your brothers lift up your arms and encourage you and plug you in and say, you can do it. You can do it. Come on. You can do it. No, instead you're sitting home commiserating on how bad everything is. All right. $5 a week. Start today. Put it away. June 21st next year. We'll see y'all there. What a powerful weekend. I don't love all of you. But as my buddy, as old guy used to say, love you in the Lord. And I thought, what does that mean? Love you in the Lord. Well, anyway, I love all of you enough to tell you the truth. The Lord hath need of you. Get involved. Hey, God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow. Hang on. What? Today? Today's Chad's birthday. Happy birthday, Chad. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Chad came all the way from Texas with his wife and brought two friends with them. Huh? Come on, man. Where your heart is, there, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Bless you all. Thanks. Happy birthday, Chad. See you guys tomorrow.